thing. Corgi said to me last week, he says, I got a special next week. I said, great, I'm going to work on that this week. And then I sent him the list of songs because we're going to do the PowerPoint thing. And he says, you didn't want me to sing my special this week or what? I'm not in there. And I said, oh, I just forgot. I'll put you in there. Don't worry. So we got him in there. But thank you very much. I wanted to say this. Anybody who would like to do special music, we'd really appreciate it if you'd be willing to do that. If you want to do that, you can come see me and we'll get you plugged in. But somebody mentioned, well, there ain't very many of you that sing solos. But that doesn't mean you can't sing special music. We'd welcome trios and duets and quartets or whatever it may be. So those of you that don't like to sing alone, you can still sing a special, and we'd love to hear that. This morning, we're going to start a new series. They let the cat out of the bag already, I guess. We're going to start with Jonah this morning. You're kind of thinking, well, Pastor, why'd you go to Jonah? Well, Jonah's a good book. We can learn a lot from Jonah. We can learn quite a deal from Jonah. And we're going to do just that. I would like to open it with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you this morning, Lord. We ask you as we open your word that you bless our hearts. And as we look at your servant Jonah, that you would teach us from your word this morning. We ask you bless our time and that your word be praised this morning and that your words go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read for you this morning some verses here in Jonah, verse 1. I'm going to just check to make sure this works. So, okay. Oh, yes, good. Good deal. It does work. We're not going to go there yet, but I'm going to read first. Verse 1, it says, and now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. That's pretty powerful stuff there. Verse 5, it says, and the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, laid down, and was fast asleep. Interesting. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Verse 7, it says this, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for who caused this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. As you can see, I just stopped at verse 7. That's all the farther we're going to get this morning. Hopefully I can get through verse 7. There's so much in Jonah. But here, as we look at the book of Jonah, we look at verse 1. It says here, and now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son, saying. I skipped that name because I can't pronounce it very well, and I apologize for that. But it's just easier for me to skip it. But anyway, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. God spoke or gave a word to Jonah. He knew what God wanted him to say. He heard it. He knew it. What was that word that God said to Jonah? Well, let's look. 2, it says, arise and do what? Go to Nineveh. That great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Interesting to me, it doesn't talk about the wickedness just being wicked. Who's the wickedness against? It's personally against God. God sees the city Nineveh and sees their sin, but not only that they have sin in their lives, but they're sinning directly against who? God himself. Now, my question to you is, does God come to us and give us a word to go to somebody and tell them that they're sinning against God? As I was in Bible college, I read through Jonah once a day for a semester. That's a lot of reading, plus all my other work I had to do. But I had one of my assignments was we had to read the book of Jonah every day, from beginning to end, every day. So I got to know Jonah pretty well. But as I read through Jonah, one of these things where the professor said, just mark out observations as you go through and see if your observations are the same every day. Are they? They're not. Every day something different popped out of the page, and I focused in on it, and it was powerful. And one of those days as I walked through Jonah, this portion here, it says, the wickedness has come upon before me, God. And God is sending out Jonah to tell Nineveh what? That they're sinning against God. Well, let's just look here for a minute. Who is Jonah? He's just another guy, right? Well, a lot of us have that preconceived notion here because a lot of us here have been in church for a long time. And as soon as you hear the word Jonah, you think of a big fish, right? Do you not? Everybody does. Who's been in church hears Jonah and thinks of the big fish or whale. As a little kid, I remember my Sunday school teacher saying. But is that truly who Jonah is? Who is Jonah? Well, we see that he's a son. We saw that. But Jonah is a prophet of God, right? A prophet of God. What is a prophet? This is a definition by dictionary.com for those of you that know how to use the internet. It says a person who speaks for God or a deity or by divine inspiration. A person who speaks for God. Okay, a prophet of God is set apart from everybody else. Is he not? Let's think about some prophets of the Bible. Anybody know the prophet Jeremiah? Does that name ring a bell? How about Isaiah? Anybody know Micah? Obadiah? How about Isaac? Nathaniel? Who's Nathaniel? Does anybody know who the prophet Nathaniel is? Isn't he the one that came to David? Wasn't it? What did he tell David? He told him of what this wicked man did, right? In killing, right? And who was he talking about? He's talking about David himself and killing Bathsheba's husband, right? So why did Nathanael go to David? He went to David to point out to David his sin. And was his sin just a sin? It was a sin against God. And how do I know that? Well, it's part of the Ten Commandments. Number 7, to be exact, if anybody would know. And that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then the second one that he committed was, thou shalt not kill, which is number 6, ironically. So David didn't just commit one sin, he committed 2 sins. And who did he commit sins against? He committed sins against God. Who was David? He was king. And not only just king, but who? What happened when he was a young lad and Samuel came to anoint the king? right? I already gave it. It was, David was the anointed one of God. God placed his anointing on David. David was to be the leader that God picked out to lead his people to be the king and to be the one to be an example. And what does David do? Blows it. Do we blow it? We blow it. But when we blow it, does God give us a chance? Does he send somebody our way to tell us of our sin? Absolutely he does. It's whether or not we want to listen to what they say. And the reason why I take that, and that's a lot of introduction information there. But Jonah was the prophet, was the one that God gave the word to go to Nineveh to tell them they blew it. And not only that they blew it, but they have a chance to change what they've blown. They have a chance to turn away from their sin and repent and follow God. Now, if you think about that, wow, that's a big job. Wow, that's a pretty important job, don't you think? I would think that's a pretty important job. Don't you think that's an important job? Well, let's look at Jonah for a minute. What's his reaction to what God tells him to do? Well, I'm going to say stupid Jonah, so don't get offended, but I'm just going to say that. Stupid Jonah does this. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. He went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I think my next slide, yes, this is it. Now, I remember as a kid going, where is Tarshish? Where is Nineveh? I have no idea where these places are. So I did it for you. I put a map up here so we could see. If you look at the map here, clear up in the right-hand corner with the circle is Nineveh, right? Okay. Where's Joppa? Down here by Jerusalem, down here, right? Where's Tarshish? There's an arrow because it's far off the map that way, okay? So Nineveh's this way, and Tarshish is that way. You see a problem there? He's going the wrong way. Scenic route. He took vacation before. He didn't. Dawn would come up with that stuff. So anyway, he actually goes down and he seeks out a boat for Tarshish. He doesn't just say, I'm going to go get me a ship. Oh, there's one at Tarshish. Here's the money. I'm going to go over there, right? No, it says here in the scriptures, and I'm going to go back here. Jonah rose to flee. He purposed in his heart he was not going to Nineveh. He was going to flee. He's going to take off. I don't like what God has to do. I don't like what he has to say. I'm taking off. I'm fleeing, and I'm going to Tarshish because that's the farthest away I can get from Nineveh. And I know I can find a boat that goes there. And he goes and finds one. And he goes. He gets on the boat. Right? Now I want to point out these words to you. Flee to Tarshish. And the word I really want to point out to you is from the presence of the Lord. Running from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that ironic? Do we try to run from the presence of God? People, don't lie to yourselves this morning. Come on, let's be honest. Do we run from the presence of God? Now, I'm going to say that to say this. You can't run from the presence of God. We try. We try. We give it a good shot. And Jonah gave it a good shot. But this is what I want to point out to you this morning is fleeing to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It says this in Jeremiah 23:24. Write that down, please, right there in your margin, right next to where it says flee. I want you to write that verse down because it says this. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord. What does that say? Is there anywhere you can go to get away from God? If I wanted to get on a ship or a boat or a plane and go to Timbuktu, will God be there? I use that term Timbuktu because I remember using it all my life. Oh, you're going to Timbuktu, right? It's actually a place called that place. But I don't know where it is. But God's there. And we can't flee from God's presence. We try. And Jonah took a good look at it. Now, there's also verses here, and I got to look this one up. Psalm 139 in your Bible. Turn with me. 139. This is a famous passage. So when I read it, you're gonna know it. A lot of people read this. Verses 7-10 says this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, what? Even there your hand shall lead me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. I've read an extra verse there. But here, where can you go from the presence of the Lord? Can you get out of it? Can you get away from God? My question to you is, why Jonah try? Did he not know that it didn't matter what he tried to do, he wasn't going to get away from God? Now, I want to point out this, that Psalm 139 was probably written before Jonah lived, or happened, or said. So, if he would have read it, or even this, Jeremiah, the prophet, wrote, should he have not known that he couldn't run from God? He should have. And not only that, the prophet was a man set apart, God's man, you could almost say, to tell the word of the Lord to people. He was to tell people God's word. He should have known he shouldn't have been able to run from God. Now, I want to say this as Christians, we believe in God, right? We believe in Jesus, right? And we believe in God's word. Amen?
Amen.
So why is it, I'm confused here, why do we try to run from God? We're afraid is one of them, right? What's the other thing? We're proud, ashamed. Well, that's interesting, ashamed. That one, because Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, right? We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed of our God. Why did Jonah get on a ship and run away from God? Later, we're going to kind of see that a little bit more. But these questions we need to pose as we read God's word. Why did Jonah run? Now, look here. Was Jonah successful in running? No. It says in verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Folks, I want to point out to you that when God asks you to do something, He intends for you to do it. He's not blowing smoke. He's not saying, if you feel like it. He's not saying, maybe when you get around to it, or when you free up some time in your schedule, you can do this for me. God asks us to do something because he wants us to do it. And see, Jonah's already set himself apart to be a prophet of God. God's already gave him the words to say. But yet he flees. And he runs. What happens? Jonah pays the consequence for running. Jonah pays the consequence. The word consequence, and this is from the definition from dictionary.com. It says, the effect or result of the outcome of something occurring earlier. Pretty good definition, huh? And then this phrase under here in italics is like an example. It says, the accident was a consequence of the reckless driving. What was the consequence for Jonah getting on a ship going to Tarsus? Well, there's a couple consequences he had to face, and one we've already heard this morning is the verse I just read. God sent a mighty wind on the sea. He sent the tempest to break up the boat, to stop Jonah where he's at, right? It's interesting to me that though our mess-ups are mess-ups, God uses them. Does he not? God uses our mess-ups. And why I say that is this. Jonah 1:5 says this. Then the mariners were afraid, and they, every man cried out to his God. And I want to point this out to you. What is that God up there? It is a lowercase g. Why is that? Well, in Hebrew text, because this was written in Hebrew, not Greek, Hebrew, Yahweh is capital G-O-D, but this God is not Yahweh. This is whatever God is out there. The God of the sea, the God of the sky, the God of the sun, moon, stars, ship, whatever they wanted to pray for, they prayed for it. They're trying to cover all bases. And every man, his own God, they prayed for. Did it help? It didn't. They even threw cargo off the ship to lighten the load, it says. But Jonah had gone down in the lowest parts of the ship, and he was sleeping. First of all, if there was a storm, and I was captain of a ship, and I found out there was a guy sleeping in the bottom of the boat, I'd be irate. Because you know they're screaming, and you could hear thunder or wind or whatever, and you know people are getting wet, and you got a guy sleeping through that. Now, we're not talking about the Titanic or Carnival Cruise Lines here, people. That's the thing with the Bible. We as Americans are really out of touch. You know, we sink boat, and we're like, yeah, I want to go to that Bahama cruise, right? We're talking about old wood ship. Probably a carrier of multiple goods. But it's nothing like we know as a ship. It has sails. It's wood. If the waves get going pretty good, you're in trouble. Because the waves come right in on board. It's not three stories tall where it hits the side of the boat and rolls off. Right? It's a wood ship. People getting wet. People screaming, throwing stuff overboard. Throwing their cannonballs overboard. Their cannons, whatever they get off. You know, pirate ships, think about those. Trying to lighten the load. They're trying to save themselves. And where's Jonah? Sleeping. What does the captain do? He goes down, he wakes up Jonah, right? What are you doing down here? What does he ask Jonah to do? Arise, call upon your God. Now, it's interesting to me, the writer puts G-O-D in capital letters. Why? It's Yahweh. It's the only one true living God. It's it. But see, the captain already knows that everybody else has prayed for their gods. Well, maybe Jonah's got a better one, right? Pray to his. Let's see what's going to happen. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Maybe the captain didn't think we might not wreck, but maybe he's thinking maybe we won't die. Look here. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. Funny thing, huh? God likes gambling, doesn't he? It's funny because we've been watching this series. We watch everything like way after it comes out, or we watch old stuff because I don't know. Even though I'm 34, I like old things. I don't understand. But we're watching Highway to Heaven. Anybody know that TV show? And there's actually the pilot that starts that series is the old folks' home. Does anybody remember that one? And the old folks' home is going to be sold. And so Jonathan's trying to come up with a way so that they can buy the old folks' home and everybody can stay, right? Where do they go? They go to put a bet down on a pony. It's kind of interesting. And Jonathan goes, "We can't do that. God's not going to like that." I found it kind of funny. They win, of course, and they get to buy the old folks home. But here, there's lots being cast, and the lot falls on Jonah. Is that coincidence? You think God allowed that to happen? You think God wanted that to happen? Yeah. I point this out because, one, we as Christians, we try to run away from God first. We don't succeed. Something comes our way and God says, "You stupid," just like Jonah. But not only that, we try to hide. Did you notice when we read Jonah that Jonah didn't actually pray? Did anybody catch that? The captain asks him to pray, but does it tell him that he prays? No. And then the second thing is they cast lots because they want to find out why this is happening. Now they've come to the conclusion that there's something wrong. And one of those men on the ship is the cause of that problem. Now their theology isn't all right, but they have good intentions. But as they cast these lots and the lot falls on Jonah, coincidence? No. What does God do by letting that lot be cast and it fall on Jonah? It keeps from Jonah being able to hide. Folks, in Christianity, God calls us out as Christians to be set apart. And we're God's people. And you know, I've talked those three messages about being the light, you know, about being the light to our families, being light to our community, being light to our world. And you know, we got to proclaim the gospel to do that. With our lives, within the word, within our fellowship, we have to do that, right? So when God calls us to do something, why do we run? Why do we hide? We're going to pay the consequence for that. Now, next week, we're going to really see a real consequence of Jonah. But my question to you is today, maybe you're at this step in your life where God is saying, "Okay, you're set apart. You call yourself a Christian. I've called you to do this, and you're running away." This is the day that God's saying, you're no longer allowed to hide. The word of God will convict you. And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to get any easier as we go through Jonah. You're just going to keep pushing and pushing it off and pushing it off. You're going to realize as we go through the book, God keeps getting deeper with Jonah. He deals with Jonah. And folks, as Christians, we have a relationship with God. He's dealing with us. And he starts with us, and we don't get it through our thick heads, he goes a little deeper. If we don't get there, he goes a little deeper. Because what does God intend us to do? He intends us, and I'm going to use this back to one of my first three messages. He intends us to obey. He intends us to obey. So, closing, I have three application questions. And you're like, Pastor, you always ask questions. This feels like we're in school. It's like a test every week. Good. I want you to answer these questions in your life. These are important questions. Application. Can you run away from God? I think we answered that question, but you specifically ask that question to yourself. Can you run away from God? Are you doing what God asks of you to do? Because the opposite of not doing what God asks you to do is trying to like run away. So those kind of correlate together. And the last question is, if you are doing the will of God, will you run away? Will you run away? Those are some tough questions, eh? You could ask these three questions every morning when you wake up. And they're good questions. And these messages upon Jonah are for you to think about where your relationship is with God. We're going to get to see the relationship between God and Jonah. But where's your relationship with God? I'm going to close with this and say, if there's any one of you that says, today, I need to quit running from God. I'm saved. And you can be saved and still try to run away from God. We all do it. You could say here this morning, I'm tired of running away from God. I want to do what God has called me to do. I want to do God's will. Purpose that today. And for those of you that are sitting here going, oh, this doesn't pertain to me. Pastor, you lost me like Jonah 1:1. I don't get this. Well, maybe it's because you don't have the first step. What's the first step? You don't have salvation. You don't have a relationship with God. You don't want to follow God. God hasn't called you to do anything because you haven't submitted to him in the first place. So today is the day when you need to ask Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and submit to him. And first you must what? Admit that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then you need to do what? You need to believe in your heart. You need to believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, dead and buried, and raised again. And you believe that in your heart, that Jesus Christ has paid for that sin, and that he is the only way to salvation. He's that bridge of that gap between you and God. But you also need to confess. Because it says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you admit that you're a sinner, you believe in thine heart, and you confess your sin before God, you believe in Him, you're saved. And at that point at salvation, you can start following the leading of God. You can do the will of God. And guess what? He gives you everything you need to do that. Last week we talked about His Holy Spirit. God gives you His Holy Spirit. When you believe in God, when you accept Jesus Christ, there's this thing that happens, a big phrase we like to say, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that happens when God, you submit to God and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit of God indwells your spirit and you submit to Him. And He gives you the strength. He gives you the encouragement. He gives you the will. He gives you the power to do what God has called you to do. But guess what? Can't have the Spirit unless you have salvation. That's the first step. So there's two things that we need to ask this morning. One, do you have salvation? If you don't, today is the day. We are not guaranteed any minute from now. You need to submit to God. And the second is, are you tired of running from God? Are you tired of trying to hide from God? Maybe you're even saying, I'm tired of the consequences of running from God. I just need to submit and do His will. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You and we praise You this day. Lord, as we look at Your servant Jonah, we thank You for him. Lord, we thank You that he's stupid like we are. Lord, we thank You that we can see a depiction of Your relationship with him and what You called him to do, Lord. And as Christians, You've called us to do Your will. You've called us to do the gospel. Lord, and today I pray that each one here this morning understands the gospel. They understand salvation. If today they don't understand, they ask. And they come this morning and they learn more about it and they accept Jesus Christ as their salvation. Lord, not only that, Lord, we pray that if there's anyone hiding or running or tired of consequences in their life, that today is the day that they turn towards You. And from this day forth, submit to Your will daily. Your Son, Jesus Christ, said, take up your cross and follow Me. We ask that we do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This one is not on the PowerPoint, so take your hymn book, turn to page 301.